Blog Talk Radio.
Normal, which is our Old Testament, New Testament word, and as always, it is a great word. For the word of God is true. God is a healer. God is a way maker. God will take us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hosanna in the highest. It's Holy Week. Wow. We are in Holy Week. We are in the Passion Week. We know that on yesterday was Palm Sunday, where scripturally Jesus went through, wow, on that donkey with her little coat behind her, with the coats and the garments thrown before him and the people singing and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. In the highest, through our word today, let us never forget the sacrifice of our Savior for us. He didn't have to die, but he did. He didn't have to come into this world, but he did. And every day, we need to give God thanks for his Son. For that balm in Gilead that heals our souls and heals our body on the name of Jesus. Father God, this morning I call on your name for healing of body, mind, and soul. Lord, you know what members of my church are going through. Our children are having to bury their mother today. We have those that are sick and shut in, but we ask you, Lord God, to heal their bodies. Lord, we know all things are going to work for our good, but we trust and believe in you and stand on your healing word. Father God, but we know that your word is true. As we go through our studies, Lord God, let the word permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. As your Isaiah word says in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And Lord, we know that your glory was the rear guard for the children of Israel as they worked and moved through the desert. For 40 years, Lord God, you gave them to get it right. Father God, we ask for more time to get it right before your miraculous coming. For Lord God, we want as many saved as possible. We want our family saved. We want those that we know and love saved. We want the stranger staying on the street saved, oh God. For you, better evangelists, better teachers, preachers, better apostles, pastors, hell, just help us to be better, Lord God, in every ministry you have called us to be. We ask you, Father God, to increase as we decrease. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart is acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot do this without you, Lord. I need you today and every day, every minute, every hour, every second. Father God, I thank you for waking me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, ready to go to work for you and to complete my assignment. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I pray this word touches a heart, touches a mind, touches a spirit. And it's in his name I pray, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah praise. Amen. 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 Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. And I thank him for his holy word this morning. Please join me in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1 through Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 20. And that is our Old Testament main word. We will also be in Psalms chapter 38, verses 1 through 8. We will be in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23 through 25. And our New Testament word is coming out of Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 40. Always God willing. Let us get started this morning. And for those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And this is our Bible for this year. Well, this Bible study is a Bible study of the Bible in 1 year. So every year, we go through the Bible in 1 year. So you have every word from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. That's my assignment, the Bible in 1 year. For those that tune in and listen in on a daily basis, you will have read or heard the Bible in 1 year. Thanking God for his word and thanking Dr. Stanley for this magnificent Bible that God put in his heart to write for us. And as far as he did not write the scriptures was already there, but he gave us some life lessons, some life examples, some questions that we should ask ourselves, life principles. So when I say life principles, life lessons, life questions, life examples, I am doing commentary from Dr. Stanley. And I would say to anybody, if given opportunity, this is a Bible you need in your biblical arsenal. You should have different types of Bibles. You should have an NIV. You should have the Amplified. You should have an NLT. And you should have the Hebrew and the Greek Bibles as well. So that, and I have a chronological that we went through as well for a year. And it was a year Bible chronologically. So we've done a lot of different types of Bible. I have not. Sometimes you need that little extra to understand what you're reading. So I would say get as many different types. Get a Message Bible. Just get different kinds of Bible. Bibles only because get the story. The story is an excellent Bible. When you're first teaching children Bible study, the Bible, the story is a great Bible because it's like you're reading a book. It's wonderful. So get different types because the more Bible types you have, the different places you can go for your studies and education because it's so important to have concepts. You know, I always say that when I read stuff, especially the Bible, you'll hear people preach a word totally out of context. And so you need to go and read the whole thing to get it in context. Don't let somebody preach you a word and then don't go and look it up yourself. You know, so you get it. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Let me get this of the word. Context is important, because when you have it out of context, you don't know what the crux and the basis for the word was. You know, so when we say, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, it's for real. You know, when it was spoken in the word, we have to know that our word is true. So let's get started in this word. And it is what? Y'all know what I'm going to say? It is a great word this morning. So let's get started. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 19, starting at verse 1. And we will be ending at verse 20 of chapter 20. And it says, when the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You will prepare roads for yourself and divide into three parts of your land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. And we're talking the cities of refuge. And this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, in context, unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods without his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. Let the avenger of blood, while his anger is hot, pursues the manslayer and overtakes him, because the way is long, and kill him. Though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall separate for yourself. Now, if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three, lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed it be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him, and strikes him mortally, so that he dies, and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of this city shall send and bring him forth there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Your eyes shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with you. You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. One witness shall not rise again against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits by the mouth of two or three witnesses. The matter shall be established. If a false witness arises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. And the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eyes shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So when you hear that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, this is one of the words that it comes out of, Deuteronomy. But understand, in context, it deals with false witness. If somebody's lying, then you know what? Your lie is going to become your truth because you are going to get punished for it. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. No pity. And we got to understand, we got to start calling lies out. We can't keep walking around on eggshells. When you know something is a lie, you need to just say that's a lie and call it for what it is. A lie is a lie. A truth is truth. You can't try to make a lie and a truth calling it alternative facts. A lie is a lie. And we have to stop walking around on eggshells. If something is wrong, call it for itself. That's wrong. Because God will hold us accountable when we sit back and don't say anything. Truth is truth. Lies are lies. Say what they are and call it straight. I don't want to go to hell because I didn't stand up for truth. Deuteronomy 19:5, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. Accidents and tragedies occur in a fallen world. And God really tells us why. And he assures full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. God is good all the time. And as the babies like to say, and all the time, God is good. I just love our babies. When that's one of the words they love to say, you know, and just shouting out to my special little boy. His name is Tevin. And every time I say, Tevin, God is good, and he'll say, I'll say, God is good. And he said, all the time, God is good. And I'm like, yes, he is. You know, just a sweetie pie. You know, we got to understand, we got to pour into our children. And when we pour into our children, watch God work in their lives. Because God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. Thanking God for his word this morning. And as we go into 20 of the book of Deuteronomy, it says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Then the officer shall speak to the people saying, what man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated? Go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman and has not married yet? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle, and another man marry her. The officer shall speak forth to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brother faint like his heart. And so it shall be, when the officers have finished speaking to the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. When you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it. And it shall be that if all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you. Now, if the city will not make peace with you but war against you, then you shall be besieged. And when the Lord your God delivers it into your hands, you shall strike every male in it from the with the edge of the sword. But the women, the little ones, the livestock, and all that is in the city, all its spoils you shall plunder for yourself, and you shall eat the enemy's plunder with the Lord your God gives you. Thus you shall do to all the cities which are very far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. You shall let nothing that breathes remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations, which they have done for their gods, those little g's, and you sin against the Lord your God. When you besiege a city for a long time, while making war against it to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. If you can eat of them, do not cut them down to use in the siege, for the tree of the field is man's food. Only the trees which you know are not trees for food you may destroy and cut down to build siege works against the city that makes war with you until it is subdued. And a couple of life lessons from Deuteronomy chapter 20. Life lesson number one, Deuteronomy 20 and 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. The number, strength, and hostility of our enemies matter little when the Lord is with us. As he delivered Israel from Egypt, so he can deliver us from our enemies. And that's enemies seen and unseen. Deuteronomy 20 and 7. Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man marry her. The Lord did not promise suffer no casualties when they followed him into battle, only that they would surely triumph. And I have a life principle from this word also this morning, from Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. And the first one is, how can you get the most out of your work? Because we say every day we got to go to work. Because who do we work for? We work for God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. How can you get the most out of your work? Let me offer three suggestions. So if you got a pen and paper, write these down. View yourself as a servant. Jesus came to earth not to be served, but to serve. And he instructed us to adopt, and here's a scripture, Matthew 20, 25 through 28. Paul wrote, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Colossians 3, 22. If Paul told slaves to do their work heartily and they received no paycheck, then what about the rest of us who do good, who do get paid? Well, they don't pay me nearly enough, you say. Okay, you may not get paid adequately, but taking longer lunch hours, clocking out early, or coming in late is not the way to even things out. If you are paid for 8 hours, you need to give 8 full hours. Why? Because you are a servant, and good servants do good work. Besides, the best pathway to promotion is servanthood. Whoever wants to be a leader must adopt the attitude of a servant. A prideful employee is seldom seen as a promotion possibility. It is the humble worker who diligently labors with a godly attitude that management sees as leadership material. Never doubt the impact of your attitude on everyone around you, the boss included. But who's your real employer? That leads us to our second suggestion. Excuse me. Realize that your work for the Lord, that you work for the Lord himself. Okay, I'm going to read that one again. The first one is view yourself as a servant. The second is realize that your work, that you work for the Lord himself. I'm going to say it one more time. Realize that you work for the Lord himself. Your employer exercises supervisory authority over you, but Jesus Christ is your Lord. You work for him. And wherever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. Colossians 3:23. If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ is the supervisor at your workplace of work. And he not only watches you from afar, he's right there with you. You and I need to give a full day's labor, regardless of whether we think management is fair, because Jesus is ultimately the employer, and he's always on site. You and I should do our very best because the Holy Spirit is present, equipping and energizing us. We make a terrible mistake by segmenting life. We may think that Monday through Friday we go to work, Saturday we play, and Sunday we worship. God has not designed life. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We can't exclude him from any part of life. It isn't right to teach a Sunday school class with everything we have, but meander into work the rest of the week. We won't be tempted to do our work merely to be seen by men if we remind ourselves that Jesus is our real boss. Come on now. Do I mean that your mundane Monday job is also the Lord's work? Yes. Ministry is not just what you do at church. Can I say that again? I'm going to read that again. Do I mean that your mundane Monday job is also the Lord's work? Yes. Ministry is not just what you do at church. You worship God every day of the week, Sunday through Sunday. On Sunday, you worship him in church. On Monday through Friday, you worship him by doing a good job at work. Your exact status as a child of God dignifies your work. That's why your office or place of employment should never be the same because you work there. Can the church say it? Amen. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:24. Do you have a good testimony in the marketplace for him? Are you one of your company's most faithful employees because you serve him? Does your to reflect the joy you have in seeing his name on the door as the real CEO? Christ is in charge of everything we do. We got to understand Christ is everything. And that's just not my opinion. That's always. Jesus is absolute. He is our CEO. I like that. Realize your pay comes both now and hereafter. Paul wrote, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Colossians 3:24. Of course, you must get paid now to take care of your household expenses. But if you have done your very best and given all you have, you will never really get paid all you are worth. The wonderful thing to remember is this. You may get insufficient wages down here, but you will get rewarded beyond all reason up there. God will much more than equalize everything in the judgment. The boss who has watched you all these years will reward you justly. Do you see yourself as a servant? Do you consider him your real boss at work as unto the Lord, no matter how menial or boring your job may seem? Have you realized that you have a tremendous reward coming later for faithful labor performed now? So If so, you are getting the most out of your work. And when we say family, it's time to go to work. Remember who your CEO is. Hallelujah. Jesus is our CEO. He is the chief executive officer of our life. And so again, how can you get the most out of your work? Number one, view yourself as a servant. Number two, realize that you work for the Lord himself. And number three, realize your pay comes both now and hereafter. Praise God. I just thank Dr. Stanley. That was a wonderful life principle, and it just kind of just basically in a nice box with a big pretty bow, it is everything that I say regularly, that we have to go to work. It's time to go to work, family, because we work for the CEO. We work for Christ, who is the executive officer of our life. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, what a word. I said it was a word this morning. And now we're going to go into our Psalms. And we're going into Psalms chapter 38, verses 1 through 8. It is a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Wow. And this is a life lesson. It says, my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. God knows that our sins weigh us down and keep us from God's best. When we confess them, we take them off our shoulders and place them on his. Only then can we walk with heads upright once more. Hallelujah. What a word. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 23 to 25. And it's just, you know, I love Proverbs. Proverbs, if there is no Bible, no book of the Bible, I say if there was no book, Proverbs would be a book that you would want in your arsenal because it keeps it real. You know, you hear people say, well, I just keep it real. Proverbs is like that book. I just keep it real. I just tell you like it is. Like it is, it is. That it's that kind of word because it will talk about you. Proverbs will tell you off in a nice biblical way, but it will tell you about yourself. You know, this is what it says in our word for today, and this is such a true word. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. You know, sometimes folks know stuff, they just keep it to themselves. If God don't tell you to speak it, then you should keep your tongue behind the teeth. But foolish folks, they always got something to say about everything, about everybody. Will talk about their brothers and sisters like dogs, sitting there looking at them, knowing good well, I just heard you talking about me. But now you're going to come over here talking about me, smiling all up in my face, and then going to tell me how I should be doing this and how I should be doing that. And I'm looking, I'm like, you don't work for God. You over there at the juke joint. And I know there's no such thing as juke joints anymore, I don't think. That's just telling my age. But you over at the other, on the corner. But yeah, you're going to come in here trying to tell us, everybody, what to do. When we haven't seen you in church in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 25, 35 months. And I mean, that's true. That would be like me having been out of church for 15 years. Coming back here and tell the pastor what to do. When I tuned out, set my behind down, I didn't do anything until God told me, released me to do stuff, to work again, because I had to do some serious repenting. When I didn't go to church, when I didn't work for God like I knew I was supposed to, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I worked in a job, and yes, I did the work that I would need to do. I took God with me everywhere, but I did not go to church. And I did not go to church because of vanity and pride. And I'm calling it straight. You got to call it out so the devil can use it against you again. Vanity and pride. Because I didn't like the way the pastor was preaching. I didn't like the fact that he thought he knew more than everybody else because he was doctor such and such. And I just did not like the attitudes of some of the teachers toward the children. But understand, when I got asked to teach Sunday school, I should have said yes and did my job. But instead, I left church because I got my feelings hurt and got my, as they call it, panties in a bunch because the pastor said something that I didn't like what he said. My husband didn't like what he said. And so we decided not to go back to church, and that was wrong. It was a wrong decision, not only for us, but for our children as well. And I had to repent. I had to repent, and I continuously repent because it was wrong. You got to call it like it is. A fruit man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness, and I was foolish. I'm just calling it like they said, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And I can speak that. Been there, done that, got the depression t-shirt. Every day we struggle. Every day we ask God, Lord, guide us, lead us. Help us not to fall into the trap of the enemy, because the enemy will get you in the grip of depression, and you will look around and say, how did I get here? How did I get here? Where you just tune out. That's not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be anxious for anything. He wants us to pray about everything. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Again, Proverbs keeps it real. And it says, but a good word makes it glad. When you see someone going through, speak a good word. Don't get into the muck and the mire with them. When they come in and talk a whole bunch of negativity, change the subject. Because it will bring you down too. It will bring you down. And then the next thing you know, you're feeling depressed. You're feeling anxious. You're feeling like whatever's going on in their life is going on in your life. We got to start speaking positive over our lives and over each other. Because we all go through. Lift your sisters and your brothers up. Give those babies a hug and a smile. Let them know that somebody loves them. Children go through just like we do. That's why we got to be beacons of light for children. Because kids this age, this day and age, are going through grown folks stuff. When I was a child, I acted like a child. I behaved like a child. Because I had grown-ups that were raising me. I had grown-ups in my life, and they did not spare the rod. Come on now, I'm just calling it like it was. They did not, and they did not allow me to hear grown folk conversations. If they was getting ready to speak about something that was none of my little girl business, I was sent out of the room, even though I would try to eavesdrop. I'm just going to be honest, because I was a nosy Rosie. Just calling it straight, I was. Thinking I was trying to be grown, and I would be trying to ear hustle. Yes, I would. Found out things I didn't wish to find out about and didn't wish I had heard and couldn't take away what I heard, because I shouldn't have been listening in the first place. You know, understand, children should be children. You don't need to be talking about grown folk business to a child. A child is a child. Let them stay a child until they grow up. Give them time before you start burdening them with your business. Your daddy didn't pay his child support. Your mom ain't nothing but a you know what. All these kids with all these daddies and da-da-da. And the daddy talking about the mama and the mama talking about the daddy. And the children caught in the middle of foolishness. We got to stop, pray, and lift our children up. I have children today that I know who are bearing their mother, 38 years old. You think that that's a burden. That is a huge burden on children from infancy to 14 years old. We pray for those babies. We pray for them because they love their mother. Lift them up. Father, I lift up our children today, asking you to put a special hedge of protection around them. Hallelujah. We got to not keep children doing grown folks stuff. As I spoke before, watch the Aretha Franklin movie and understand truly why her family is not pleased. But the one thing that really hurt my heart was a 12-year-old having a baby. Then again, at 14 years old, having a baby. Baby having a baby. Thank God for our family. But I still want to say it was irresponsible of the parents not watching after the child. No child should be doing adult. Where was mom and dad? I know my grandchildren are sick and tired because I am on them. Where are you? Where you sitting? Who you sitting with? Uh-uh. You can't sit there. You need to sit over here. No, you can't go there. No, you can't spend the night. No. The answer is no. You're not going skate without supervision. No, you're not going to the football game without supervision. And no, I want to know where you are, what you're doing, who you with. We got to be on it. They might get sick of you. They may get tired of you. But I tell you one thing, when you keep an eye out, there's not going to be any 12-year-olds pregnant under your watch. We got to be vigilant. And they got to see the godliness in us so that when we talk about what we do, what we don't do, they will know that you keep yourself for your husband. You teach them to be good girls and boys. And you wait on the Lord. Tell their daughter about sex when they seeing their mama sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. We got to do what's right. And as we get into our New Testament word this morning, we are coming out of the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 31 through 44. And remember, if you need a word for anybody, go to Proverbs. Just go to Proverbs and I'm going to tell you, you'll find that word. So let's get into Luke. And it says this, then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Demons tremble at his name. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke amongst themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made requests of him concerning her. So he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served him. Who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hand on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now understand this. The demons know who Jesus is. The demons know who our Savior is, and they tremble at his name. And I tell anybody, when you go under, if something is attacking your body, attacking your spirit, you've got to call on the name of Jesus, and you got to call on that name with authority, Jesus. And you watch them spirits start fleeing. You start calling, Jesus, heal my body. Jesus, heal my mind. Jesus, heal every financial issue I have. Jesus, I call on your name that these spirits will flee from my home, from my presence, from my family, from my church. You wonder why certain people leave the church? Because the name of Jesus is being called and they got to get out because they got a spirit in them. Don't get upset when such and such and such leave. It's because that spirit is on them, and that spirit can't stay in the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit is up and moving, folks falling out because the Lord is delivering us. We got to be delivered, and we got to know that it is for a purpose and a reason. Because this morning even, my throat all of a sudden started wanting to get tight. You know, you have discharge coming out of your nose, trying to get into your throat. You know, you're like, wait a minute now. The devil is a lie. I'm going to speak the word of God, and I'm going to speak it with authority because that's what my assignment is, even in our voices. Because I speak, I sing, I lift up the name of Jesus. And what does it attack? My voice. What does it attack? It attacks my voice. I've had to deal with a nodule on my larynx. And guess what? When I went back to the doctor, couldn't find it because I prayed. I prayed and I believed God for healing. I refuse to stop doing what I do for God. I'm not going to stop. So we got to understand. We got to stand up and say, I'm going to do my assignment no matter where I am. If I'm on my back, I'm doing my assignment. If I can't walk, I'm doing my assignment. If I can barely talk, I'm going to do my assignment. Whatever your assignment is for God, do it. And do it with boldness. And yes, you will be attacked. I see it all the time. The enemy will come before or after. And he might, if you are powerful, he's going to come before and after. We better understand. But we know what we got to do as warriors, as women and men who work for God. We pray. We don't worry. We pray. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us to be strong and courageous and do not fear. For the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. We got to know that our God goes before us in everything we do as long as we stand on his word. I didn't mean to preach this morning, but the word is so good. And as we go in, back into verse 41 of Luke chapter 4, and it says, and demons also came out of many, crying out and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd saw him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And a life lesson this morning, and I'm going to give it from Proverbs chapter 12, 25. I did skip that life lesson. And it says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. We also become expert at giving encouragement. The world has more than enough naysayers, critics, scoffers, ridiculers, and distractors. A good word is hard to find. Why not give it a home in your mouth? Hallelujah. You know, what we speak affects us. If we're speaking negative, you're going to have some issues. If you're speaking positive, God is going to do some healing. We got to start speaking positive, not over the lives of others, but over our lives. We've got to speak the word. Speak positive, family, today and always over your life and over the lives of others. That's all I got this morning. Our word is complete for today. And as always, before we leave, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And the word for this morning from our sister, good morning. Pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day. So never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. Have a meditating Monday. As always, our sister in Christ is all up in the lesson. God is in the midst today at moving forward. And all I can say is praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Giving God honor, giving God glory, giving God praise. If there is anyone that has a word this morning that God has put on your heart to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone. Our number is 213-943-3597. Again, it's 213-943-3597. If there is someone who has a word that they would like to speak, if not, let us end this morning. But the word for today is this, the Lord your God who goes with you to fight for you. Again, the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you. Know that forever, whatever you're going through, the Lord is there to fight for you and with you. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of the Christ, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Why? Because it is what? It is time to go to work. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.